Backstage at the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Hall, and I am joined by the artistic brains behind the operation, who probably spend more of their time in offices planning than they do here in the area backstage. But if I'm wrong, they'll put me right. Andrew Cornell is the artistic director, Sandra Parr, the director of artistic planning, and you are the Mr. and Mrs. Fix-It of the Royal Liverpool Phil, I understand. Sandra, what does artistic planning actually involve?
This is a bit where you have dreams and then you have to plan to make them work, basically. You have to work out how they can be financed, of course, but logistically how they can all fit together. And as you're going along, plans change. What you start off planning never ends up what's finally there. That's the most exciting bit about it, because things evolve all the time as you're planning.
But Andrew, I can imagine that that actually is also perhaps a process of disappointment and compromise along the way. As you sit there thinking, oh, what can we play in 2 years' time? Actually, your original thoughts may not even come to fruition.
Well, I think that's always happens, and actually serendipity proves obviously a very vital tool in artistic planning often. We move ourselves around in our planning and our thoughts right the way through the years leading up to any particular season.
So how many years are we talking about in terms of a very special season like this, 175th?
I remember giving a presentation to actually the board about future artistic planning 6 years ago. And I said, you know, we must remember we've got 175th coming up and it's going to be upon us immediately. And at that point, we were already thinking about what could we do, what's special. And as three, you know, gets to 5 years in front, 4 years in front, those thoughts start to coalesce. And then Sandra and I really get down to the detail of the planning and lead to the really planning the 70-odd concerts that the orchestra will do within the season. And there are always some themes and ideas that present themselves as you're working through. And obviously with the 175th anniversary, it's a bit of a gift in some respects, isn't it, to be able to plan. And, you know, tonight's concert is, again, it's by chance we realised that 100 years ago today, they celebrated their 75th anniversary. And it's the programme that we perform tonight is that programme from 100 years ago, which is interesting in the context of...
But indeed, because 100 years ago, 1915, we are in the middle of a period of terrible conflict. World War I is raging. And yet here in the centre of Liverpool, you're thinking about music.
Thinking about music and performing Mendelssohn and Beethoven and the words of Goethe. So there's something quite powerful, I think, in all of that.
Absolutely. I'd love to have a look at your office, Sandra. You're going to have to take me backstage and back to that area, because I can imagine that the planning part of it involves masses of wall charts and different coloured post-it notes and goodness knows what.
Well, it's a mixture. It looks like a CD store, actually, most of the time, but in fact, a lot of the planning doesn't happen at the desk in the office. It tends to happen out on the road as we're travelling around and listening to other concerts or visiting other orchestras. For instance, recently we were in Japan with the orchestra and we had several train journeys with Vasily on bullet trains around Japan. And we find that when he's captured in a situation like a train, we have some of our best ideas because he can't walk away anywhere. But also, just seeing the scenery outside, it's inspiring to have that blue sky and Mount Fuji or whatever outside. And we have some wild and wonderful ideas when you're travelling. So quite often, the nuts and bolts of the season can come to you in a flash whilst you're out of the building. It's being out there and having influences from external things that really give you the ideas, rather than sitting at a desk looking
through
a book.
And those mad ideas will come up in 16, 17 and 17 and 18.
Yes, you'll see them soon.
But, I mean, talking about being in Japan, and Andrew, I know that last year it was China, mm-hmm. and you're responsible for everything that the orchestra is doing wherever it happens to be, isn't it? It's not just about here in Liverpool.
It is, and Sandra and I are working on that one. Of course, Sandra's team are working on that all the time, and it's about whatever the orchestra and whatever the musicians in the orchestra are doing is what we're planning. And of course, it's a little bit beyond that. It's not just the orchestra itself, which is the core of the organisation. We have a contemporary music ensemble. We break the orchestra down into smaller ensembles and chamber orchestras, and we put on concerts like that. We also put on an international chamber music series of international artists coming in, and we do that at St. George's Concert Room. So we're planning a whole range of music around classical music. But the core of it is the orchestra, and the core of it is the musicians that we have on staff.
And the core of it, too, must be your relationship. Sandra, you mentioned cornering Vasily on a train in Japan. But clearly, it has to be a really fruitful relationship between you and with the conductor, the chief conductor of the orchestra.
It's essential to have that. It's a partnership. We talk a lot here in Liverpool and have lots of ideas, and as Andrew just said, some of them come to fruition, some of them don't. But I think the most important thing is that we keep talking, and we're not afraid to tear up a whole plan and say, let's just start again, we're not happy with that one. So quite often, we can have 17 or 18 different drafts for one concert because we're not happy with it. And that's the beauty of it. You're constantly thinking, can it be better? And sometimes you're almost there, as we are this week at the moment, the very, very last minute, all of a sudden, Bastia say, actually, I want to change that overture, that concerto there. And suddenly you're back to square one. But that's wonderful because we're constantly, you know, throwing things and ideas around between us. And we survive it, don't we? You've survived
well,
this last minute.
Fortunately, we get on very well. And yes. The best bits of planning are done over a very good bottle of red wine.
What about tonight? It is a very special concert. Mm. What are you looking forward to hearing tonight? Because clearly, neither of you were around 100 years ago to hear this programme then.
No, I think it's just a wonderful night for the organisation and for the musicians in the organisation. And, you know, it's the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic Society. And that society was born in 1840. And here we are celebrating 175 years. And I think it is a unique organisation in the country. And it's great that we're still here. And not only still here, but flourishing.
I think the important thing is this is very much part of the city. It is Liverpool owns it and we own Liverpool. We work so closely together. And if you walk out here on the street, there'll still be people who don't come to the concert this evening, but who are incredibly excited and proud that we're here on Hope Street. Mm. And the community sense of ownership of what Liverpool Philharmonic is very important to us. So many people come through this hall, not just to hear a concert, they might have come here for a school speech day, for instance, or perhaps they sang here with the school choir or something. It really is part of the whole fabric of what this city is. Mm. And that's the great thing about it, really. It's still here after 175 years and flourishing.